Picture this. You are preparing to perform femoral artery bypass surgery on Darla, a 63-year-old woman with severe atherosclerotic disease. The supply room technician cannot locate the 6-millimeter diameter graft that you have requested for this surgery and is asking if a 4-millimeter diameter graft can suffice. How much difference does 2 millimeters diameter really make? He asks. What is the impact on vessel diameter to flow? Does 2 millimeters really make a difference? Welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Laurel Toft, bringing cardiology from our bricks to your ears. After completing this brick, you will be able to 1. Calculate blood flow and conceptualize how different variables alter it. 2. Describe the Hagen-Poiseuille law and explain why it is important in understanding resistance to flow. And 3. Explain the relationship between flow, velocity, and cross-sectional area. Part 1. What determines blood flow? Hemodynamics is the technical term for describing how blood flows through the cardiovascular system. The critical process of getting oxygen and nutrients to the right place at the right time depends on the interaction between blood flow, which we will discuss here, and blood pressure, which is discussed in more detail in our blood pressure brick, so check that out too. Okay, so blood flow, shortened in physiology terms to the letter Q, is the volume of blood that passes through a vessel per unit of time. An important determinant of blood flow is the pressure differential between one end of the vessel and the other end. This is commonly denoted as delta P. This pressure difference determines the net force applied to the fluid and is responsible for the flow of blood. You may remember from physics that for electricity, the change in voltage, or delta V, is equal to the current I times the resistance R. For fluids, this then becomes delta P equals Q times R, or if we rearrange it, Q equals delta P divided by R. Q is the blood flow, or the volume of blood passing through a vessel per unit of time. Delta P equals the change in pressure along a blood vessel, and R equals vessel resistance. Let's see if you got that. Question. How do you calculate blood flow in terms of change in pressure along the vessel and vessel resistance? Answer is Q equals delta P divided by R, where Q is blood flow rate, delta P is change in pressure, and R is vessel resistance. Part 2. What is the Hagen-Poiseuille law? Blood flow is related to the size of the blood vessel. Jean Poiseuille, a French physician, and Gotthilf Hagen, a German engineer, independently discovered this relationship, expressed by the Hagen-Poiseuille equation. Now, hang on to your hats, because this one is long. Q equals delta P times pi times little r to the fourth. All of that divided by 8 times viscosity times L. This equation, although long, is surprisingly straightforward, and we're going to break it down so at the end of this discussion you'll understand why it's so important to blood flow. Let's start by defining the terms of the equation. Q is the volumetric flow of blood. Delta P, just like before, is the change in pressure along the length of a vessel. Pi is the mathematical constant, pi. Little r equals the radius of the vessel. The viscosity of the fluid, in this case blood, is represented by the symbol eta, which looks like a fancy lowercase n. And L equals the length of the vessel. Note that the flow is proportional to the fourth power of the radius, but is inversely proportional to the length of the vessel and to fluid viscosity. Let's dig a little deeper. First, radius. Let's say a blood vessel has a certain radius, little r. If we double the radius, how would flow through the vessel be affected? Well, blood flow in a system with laminar flow, meaning not turbulent flow, is directly proportional to the radius raised to the fourth power. This means that if the radius of the blood vessel doubles, the flow through the tube increases by a factor of 16, 2 to the fourth power. Well, think of it like drinking a milkshake. Is it easier to drink out of a wide straw or a narrow straw? Quick quiz time. Question. What is the relationship between blood vessel radius and flow? Blood flow varies directly with vessel radius to the fourth power, exponentially. Next up, let's consider length. Think about the effect of changing the blood vessel length. Increasing length increases the amount of fluid that is in contact with the surface of the blood vessel. The increase in intermolecular interactions results in an increase in resistance, denoted big R. So doubling the length would double the amount of resistance along the blood vessel. An increase in resistance would make it harder for blood to move, thereby decreasing the flow. Again, think about it like drinking a milkshake. Is it easier to drink a milkshake out of a short straw or a long straw? Now, let's discuss viscosity. In addition to the dimensions of the blood vessel, we need to consider the inherent characteristics of the blood. One is viscosity, the ease by which the different layers of fluid slide over each other. It's related to the cohesive forces within the fluid, and such forces can be thought of as thickness. Viscosity of a fluid is an inherent property of any given fluid that remains constant if the fluid constituents do not change. An increase in viscosity results in an increase in resistance to flow. Hence, viscosity is directly proportional to resistance and thus inversely proportional to flow. In blood, viscosity depends primarily on the number of red blood cells, measured as the hematocrit. As the hematocrit rises, blood viscosity increases, and so does resistance to flow. The milkshake analogy is helpful here too. Is it easier to drink a thicker, more viscous, or thinner, less viscous milkshake through a straw? Clinical correlation time. Polycythemia vera is a hematologic disorder that leads to a high hematocrit. The high blood viscosity from this hematocrit may cause reduced blood flow to the eyes and gut. This often causes visual disturbances and gut pain. Now, let's try to put all of those variables together. In the human body, the length of blood vessels, L, and the viscosity of blood, fancy lowercase n, do not change very significantly from minute to minute, but the radius does. The nervous and endocrine systems can markedly change the radius very quickly by contracting or relaxing the smooth muscles that line the blood vessels. This, plus the exponential r to the fourth effect of the radius, means that blood vessel radius is the main determinant of resistance and blood flow. The blood flow and blood pressure, as we'll see, are largely determined, therefore, by constriction and dilation of vessels. The sizes of the vessels are regulated both by the sympathetic nervous system and by circulating substances. Both these mechanisms are important in controlling blood pressure and regional flow of blood to one organ or another. Now here's another clinical correlation. Many people with hypertension, high blood pressure, have high total peripheral resistance caused by diffuse constriction of their arterioles and small arteries. This leads to a smaller radius and higher systemic vascular resistance. Thus, a higher delta P is needed to maintain blood flow. This increase in pressure, or delta P, can damage the vessels over time, causing heart and renal disease. And now for a review question. Which vessel parameter has the most profound effect on changing the magnitude of blood flow? Answer is, radius of the vessel has the most profound effect on changing blood flow. The Hagen-Poiseuille equation works well when it comes to characterizing the flow through a blood vessel, but it has some limitations. For the equation to be valid, the system should have the following characteristics. 1. Constant viscosity. 2. Laminar flow, meaning not turbulent. And 3. Steady flow, or not pulsatile. We already said that in the body, the blood viscosity stays roughly constant, but what about the laminar and steady flow? Well, blood flow can occur in either a laminar or a turbulent manner. Laminar, or streamlined flow, describes flow that occurs in concentric layers that slide past one another at different velocities. The fluid in the center of the stream moves at the highest velocity, and the fluid on the periphery moves much more slowly because of higher friction at the blood vessel wall. In contrast, turbulent flow is the loss of streamlined flow. The movement of fluid is much less ordered. Think of the rapids and rocks in a narrow part of a river. When a turbulent flow pattern is encountered, a much higher pressure is necessary to maintain a constant flow. This is because the flow is erratic, irregular, and inefficient. In most healthy blood vessels, the flow is usually laminar, which is a requirement for using that Hagen-Poiseuille equation. However, in a few places in the cardiovascular system, turbulent flow is normal, such as across the heart valves and at large vessel bifurcations or branches. To correlate that to what you might hear clinically, turbulent blood flow is noisy and can be detected by listening with a stethoscope, as in the example of a heart murmur or a vessel bruit. Lastly, let's examine that condition of steady flow. As you might know from checking your own blood pressure, blood flow in the large arteries is not steady, but is pulsatile. The systolic blood pressure, normally around 120 millimeters of mercury, and the diastolic blood pressure, normally about 80 millimeters of mercury, reflect the maximal pressures generated by the heart and maintained by the arteries. So in the large arteries like the aorta and the brachial artery, where you measure blood pressure, flow is not steady, and therefore the Hagen-Poiseuille equation is unreliable. In contrast, small arteries and arterioles, which make up most of the volume of the arterial system, have much less pulsation and a more constant average pressure. So we can use the equation safely for most of the circulatory system. Part 3. How are blood flow and blood velocity related? Another way of expressing blood flow is relative to its velocity, which is the linear displacement of fluid per unit of time. So this can be expressed as blood flow equals velocity times area. Velocity is the linear displacement, or distance, measured here in centimeters, of fluid unit per time, shown here in seconds. So velocity in this equation is measured in centimeters per second. Cross-sectional area is the area that the fluid moves through in any given section of the blood vessel. So let's see if you got that. How do we calculate blood flow? Answer: blood flow equals velocity times area. As blood leaves the heart through the aorta, it is distributed into a series of continually smaller arteries and arterioles. We call this arborization, just like tree branches, until it reaches the tissues. This means that for any given path that blood may take, the radii of the individual vessels proximal to the heart are greater than the radii of the distal vessels, like capillaries. On the other hand, the total cross-sectional area of the smaller vessels is actually greater than that of the larger, more proximal vessels. If one large vessel, such as the aorta, were to feed just one smaller artery or even a capillary, the velocity would increase in the smaller vessel. Well, why doesn't this happen in real life? Let's say you have one large vessel feeding five smaller vessels. Since the flow is constant, the flow is now being split among the five smaller vessels. And because these five smaller vessels have a greater total cross-sectional area than the large vessel before them, the blood velocity actually decreases in the smallest distal vessels. To illustrate this, the arteries are typically 12 millimeters in radius, have a total cross-sectional area of 5 centimeters squared in the body, and a flow velocity of 10 centimeters per second. Capillaries, on the other hand, are typically 3 micrometers in radius, but have a total cross-sectional area of 4,500 centimeters squared, and a flow velocity of 0.1 centimeters per second. This decreased velocity is a good thing. It gives the capillaries ample time to deliver oxygen and nutrients to the cells and to pick up waste products from them. Quiz time! For a constant flow, how are velocity, vessel radius, and total cross-sectional area related to the blood vessels? As the radius of a vessel decreases, the velocity of flow increases. However, when the total cross-sectional area of the vessel type is increased, as in the capillary bed, the overall velocity of the blood decreases. And that's it for blood flow. Let's check your knowledge and see what we've learned today. First, how do you define blood flow? Blood flow, symbolized as the letter Q, is the volume of blood that passes through a vessel per unit of time. And how do you calculate blood flow in general terms? Q equals delta P over R, where delta P is the change in pressure and big R is vessel resistance. What is the Hagen-Poiseuille equation? The Hagen-Poiseuille equation describes flow through a rigid tube, considering the pressure differential between the two ends of a blood vessel, delta P, the radius and length of the blood vessel, and the viscosity of the fluid. The equation is Q equals delta P times pi times little r to the fourth, all divided by 8 times viscosity times length. What three assumptions must be true for the Hagen-Poiseuille equation to be valid? Blood flow should be laminar, not turbulent, and steady, non-pulsatile, and have a constant viscosity. Next, what is blood velocity? Blood velocity is the linear displacement of fluid distance per unit of time. And finally, what is the relationship between blood flow, velocity, and cross-sectional area? In laminar flow, the velocity of blood is directly proportional to flow rate and inversely proportional to the cross-sectional area of the blood vessel. For this reason, blood velocity is slower in the smallest distal vessels than in the aorta, because the cumulative cross-sectional area of the many capillaries is greater than that of the single aorta. And we're done. Armed with your newfound knowledge, let's think back to your patient from the beginning of the episode. Darla is undergoing femoral artery bypass surgery for severe occlusive atherosclerotic disease. The 6mm graft you requested is not available, and your team has asked if you can make do with a 4mm graft. You sigh and patiently explain. That laminar blood flow is directly proportional to the fourth power of the radius. The 6mm graft has a radius of 3mm, and the 4mm graft has a radius of 2mm. With all other things being equal, the larger graft's radius is 1.5 times larger than the smaller one. Thus, the larger graft would increase flow by a factor of 5, 1.5 times 1.5 times 1.5 times 1.5. This is a critical difference when you are talking about arterial blood supply to the leg. After several more minutes of waiting, the 6mm diameter graft arrives in the operating room, and Darla undergoes successful revascularization. And that's our show. If you liked this episode, send us a comment or give us a thumbs up. Until next time!